This is the History of the World podcast, Illuminati Debrief.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I've created some weird music, haven't I, over the years? What happened to the good old days, Volume 1, where we had a nice theme tune? We've gone off and made some really bizarre stuff, haven't we? So maybe I'll have to concentrate on Volume 5 and making that a good intro music. I think, though, Volume 5, we're going to be... like, so 2024, I think, is going to see the conclusion of Volume 4. So it will, at the current pace, it will run for the rest of 2024. We've got a number of topics still to talk about. We're very close now to discussing the Mongol Empire and Chinggis Khan. We'll be looking at Marco Polo's travels as well. That's another interesting story. The innovation of gunpowder, of course, we're still living with the consequences of the creation of gunpowder on a global scale. Then we'll be going to Southeast Asia and the South Pacific and looking at the early or the medieval kingdoms of Indochina and Austronesian expansion, the Maori of New Zealand, Easter Island. Before we go to the Americas at the conclusion of 2024 and look at some of the pre-Columbian cultures, the cultures that are directly pre-Columbian of South America, Middle America, Central America, and North America. But then also, before we do anything else in terms of going forward in the volumes, there are aspects of sub-Saharan Africa that are really starting to become important during the medieval period. So we have to introduce the African continent in. So we'll be looking at staying in Volume 4 for the rest of 2024. Before we go on to Volume 5, and, you know, maybe we'll revise it again so that the episodes are coming out with a bit more regularity, a bit more frequency as they once were. So we might be able to speed it up a little bit. But certainly Volume 5 will be a smaller volume than Volume 4 because we're covering a smaller time period, really. The medieval volume is almost an entire millennium of history, which is why this is such a monster of a volume. It might turn out to be the biggest volume of the entire lot of all seven. So that's just a bit of information about what's coming up in 2024 for you all. Normally what I do, for those of you who haven't listened to an Illuminati debrief in the past, I normally discuss the information sources that I've used to present the episode that you probably have just listened to. So with the Tang China episode, I found that I was quite heavily reliant on a book which is written by an author who I've sort of referred to his work in the past. He's written a great work about Indian history, very similar to the book that I used to help me to write this episode. And it's by John Key. John Key is a British author who was, I think, born in the 40s, the early 40s. He wrote a book called China, A History, which is a wonderful chronological view of China. He's also got a book which is also in my collection about India, very similar. So he's written books about India and China and the national histories of both countries. And this book I found extremely important in terms of writing a good episode about the Tang Dynasty. But it would be remiss of me to not refer to the other books which I dipped in and out of. So I think John Key's book was probably the main go-to book for me when writing this episode. I did also get some guidelines and guidance from Arthur Cottrell's Asia, A Concise History. I did dip in and out of Bamber Gascoigne's book, The Dynasties of China. And there are a couple of books that are like sort of real epic books, you know, like sort of several hundred pages long. In fact, one of them by Simon Sebag Montefiore is called The World, A Family History. It's well over 1,000 pages long. It's huge. And I can sometimes find interesting little tidbits of information that I can pop into the podcast from that. Also, forgive me, I have to turn around and look at them all. Chris Harman's A People's History of the World is also one that I can sort of dip in and out of and find interesting sort of additions to add to the text of the episode itself, of the podcast episode itself. I generally, in terms of getting a good chronological timeline and filling in the gaps, it's very difficult. And I'm going to move on to this in this little Illuminati debrief. I'm going to move on to that very subject of, you know, how these episodes are now being constructed now that we're in a medieval period. It's not an easy thing to do. And I'm heavily dependent on sites like Wikipedia and Britannica in terms of attaching bits of history to each other. So understanding how different events are linked to each other. And so I'm often clicking through pages to sort of almost Wikipedia pages. I'm triangulating them with each other to confirm the veracity of the information that I'm reading as well. But like Britannica does such a good, it's got so many articles on Britannica with a sort of a brief overview. So it's one of the biggest things in terms of writing about Chinese history is my own lack of understanding. And sites that give you general overviews can really help with your understanding so that you're writing with some element of authority. So that's really how I put these episodes together. But there's no two ways about it. Writing about medieval history is difficult. There are numerous resources, and not all of those resources look to do what I do, which is give you a chronological story of what was going on. So when I sit down and write an episode about the Tang Dynasty, my aim is to is to take you on a journey from the beginning of the Tang to the end of the Tang. And a lot of resources don't, especially when it talks about medieval nations, doesn't really take you on a chronological journey. It really just gives you aspects, or gives you overviews of aspects, like cultural aspects or political aspects, and the development of those things alone, which is very difficult for me to refer to them when writing a chronological history. So whereas before, in previous volumes, many of the sources write a chronological, there's only one way to really write about it, the chronological history of the Akkadians, for example, the ancient societies. Because we don't know a great deal about the politics or about the intricacies, the trade intricacies or those other things, the cultural intricacies. We don't really know anything or enough about them to be able to write with them. So anyone that writes about ancient societies tends to write the chronological story. It's very difficult to use other people's work to create a chronological story. It's much more difficult when talking about medieval societies. The value of web resources is incredible. It's unignorable. So it's true, I am finding some of these episodes trickier to write, and it's more time consuming to write about them. But as ever, and I've said it before, I'm dedicated to writing a high quality episode each time. The one thing I will not do is scrimp on quality. So it's really my goal to make every episode as good in quality as any other episode. So I don't apologize for that. This project is going to be a comprehensive history of the world. The challenges of speaking in different languages is a tough one for me. So just a little bit about me, I suppose. I speak English, of course, and I don't speak any other languages. I have knowledge of Spanish, which I could probably speak to maybe A1 standard, perhaps. So I understand how their alphabet works, and so therefore pronouncing Spanish words is a lot easier for me than maybe pronouncing Hungarian words or Suomi Finnish words or anything like that, where I have absolutely no knowledge of the tongue or the alphabet. Or so the alphabet looks the same as ours, but of course anyone that knows Spanish will know that if a word starts with the letter V, it's often pronounced with the letter B, but you wouldn't know that unless you'd been told that. So that's the most difficult thing about speaking different languages, like in terms of European languages. But then it goes on a completely new level when we're looking at Far Eastern languages. So with China, for example, and China's not even the hardest of them all. There's harder languages out there. With China, we're talking in tones. So you have like four different tones in Chinese, you've got one that goes down, so you pronounce it ao. You've got one that goes up, so you pronounce it as ao. You've got one that's like a level one, so you pronounce it as oh, and then you've got one that's like a little bit of a wobbly one, so it goes oh. So you've got four different consonant sounds, and if you or sort of vowel tones, I should say, vowel tones, if you don't use them correctly, for the native Chinese speaker, it will be confusing because they rely on those tonalities or those tones to understand the word that's being said. For us, where all of this is foreign, it doesn't really matter, because if the host is saying a word, you'll associate that word in the way that it's being spoken with what that host is talking about, rather than relating it to your own native tongue. So it's very, very difficult. And thank God there's like resources out there now in terms of learning how to pronounce such things. So you can actually go to YouTube and watch videos that teach you how to pronounce Chinese letters. And years ago, you wouldn't have had that. What an age we live in now, with this internet age that we've all become, you know, most of us have had access to for the last 25, 30 years. What a wealth of information that we have at our fingertips now. It's incredible. And like, there's no way that I could have made this project without those web resources, without those little web resources. Certainly, Chinese consonants as well are difficult. This is something I've only just been learning. So in all the episodes that I've made previously, I had no knowledge of this ability to... So you can sometimes see Chinese words... they'll call it pinyin, where they anglicize. They use the Roman alphabet to describe Chinese words and how they should be pronounced. And in pinyin, they will have accents above the vowel sounds, so that it gives you a clue about the tonality. But often you'll see a J sound, sometimes represented by the letter J, or by the two consonants Z and H alongside each other. And they both seemingly have this J sound, but the J sound with a ZH is pronounced much in the same way that the English would pronounce it. But with the J letter being used. So the ZH is much like the way that we pronounce it. But with the J letter, you have to move your tongue into a different position and use J sound. Like, so it sort of almost comes from the top of the mouth. So it's very unusual. Learning all of this is a challenge, I've got to be honest. But I don't think most of the listeners will have any clue about it anyway, the same as me. So, but anyway, that's the challenges of speaking in different languages. Before I go this week, I'm going to address a little bit of an elephant in the room, which is the lack of reviews and emails that we receive. So often at the end of episodes, we got an abundance of reviews and emails, and that doesn't seem to happen anymore. And I've been reflecting on why that might be. And if I'm honest about the podcast progress, I think maybe for the last 2 years, the acceleration in new listeners has leveled out, really. So I would say that, you know, really what the amount of listeners, what the podcast earns from voluntary contributions is sort of quite static, really. It neither goes up or down. And this wasn't the case in the first sort of 2 or 3 years of the podcast, where things went through the roof. The amount of listeners accelerated notably. And what I think has happened is I think that everyone that has been looking for such a resource, a History of the World podcast, is actually now here. You're all here. And we're not really getting many new listeners, or certainly not at the rate that we was. You know, maybe the amount of new listeners is equivalent to the amount of listeners that stop listening to the podcast. So, it's very interesting. We don't really get a lot of reviews. The review that I read out in the main episode is the first one that I've seen come through on Apple Podcasts for maybe 5 or 6 weeks, believe it or not. And then some weeks on the podcast, I was reading out 2 or 3 reviews. Certainly, I don't get that much email correspondence, because I think the people that wanted to email me mainly have already done it. So they don't feel a desire to have to do it anymore. So it's interesting to see where we are. And certainly the podcast is, you know, certainly not diminishing, but it's not really growing to any extent. And so in order to grow the podcast, we've moved into advertising, really. So which... not everyone's a huge fan of, but it's a real benefit to the podcast. So it's an unignorable benefit to the podcast and all of the work that goes into it. It's impossible to not look into that aspect of the podcast's development. Anyway, that's all I want to talk about. I've held you up for long enough. I'm sure you've got plenty to get on with now that it's the new year. All of you are going to be joining the gym. I'm sure you're going to be doing that. All of you are going to be going on diets. I suppose all of you are going to be making promises to be nicer. Or maybe some of you are making promises to be harder, so that you stick up for yourself a bit better in 2024. But as ever, with all New Year's resolutions, once you get a week in, you give it up anyway, and we'll go back to normal. So anyway, a great pleasure. Speaking soon. Thank you ever so much for everything you've done for the podcast in the last year, and looking forward to a strong and prosperous and safe and happy 2024. Thank you very much for all of your support, and until next time, be good.